And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the lights, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Circus Clown, was written by Erwin Gonchak and stars Leon Janney as Mr. Jackson and Peter Laser as Henry.
I was reading recently a circus expert who said that the clowns he's known were as happy and jovial outside the big tent as they were inside it. And that it was a lot of nonsense to claim that clowns are usually hiding a great personal sorrow behind their painted masks. Well, I've been with the circus all my life, and I'd agree with this writer. Most clowns are pretty light-hearted people, full of the fun of living. Yet now that I think of it, there was one long time ago. He was a strange kid. Yeah, he certainly was. He started like all the rest, you know. First, just a chaser after the parade. You meet kids like that all over the country. Especially the farm boys, anxious to get on a circus train and see the world. But this kid, met him right on the Lower East Side of New York, in the heart of the old tenements. Back in the 20s, it was. I was managing a small outfit at the time, and I remember we were parading through Delancey Street to pick up some business for our circus, which was pitched down by the East River on an empty lot. So there I was, riding on top of an elephant, dressed like an Indian sahib with a sign on my back announcing the star attractions. And a few fellas tooting the horn and beating the drum in front when...
Mister! Hey, mister!
What do you want, kid?
Where's that elephant from?
Kid, he's from the heart of the African jungle, the Belgian Congo.
Boy, that's something.
Sure is, kid.
All the way from the Belgian Congo to here? What's his name, mister?
Henry.
Hey, that's something, too. My name's Henry also.
Yeah, well, you two have got a lot in common then. Well, Henry and I gotta move on. Why don't you come to the show and see your namesake? Only 10 cents. Bring all your friends, kid.
I haven't got the money, mister.
Ask your father.
Ha, that's a joke. He'd never understand the circus.
Well, try to get some money, kid. We start in an hour. Come on, folks, follow the parade to the greatest little circus in the world. From Timbuktu to Kalamazoo. Come on, folks, follow the circus parade.
Hey, mister, you need any help? Mister, I can take care of Henry. Feed him, wash him. Hey, mister, can you use a helper?
Now, how many times did I hear that call before? Kids are the same all over. Out in the cornfield or on a hot city block. But this kid Henry was really persistent. I'd see him hanging around the tent about every day when we were pitched by the East River until...
Hey, mister, you need some help today?
Let me ask you, Henry. Say I did. What can you do?
Anything. Just anything. Just you name it. What about the elephant, Henry? You need somebody to walk him, maybe?
No, Henry's taken care of, but...
But what, mister? Just name it.
Can you swing on a trapeze?
Sure, mister.
Walk a tightrope?
Sure, mister.
Now, you know, there's one spot where there might be an opening.
Yeah, mister, yeah. I'll take it.
Do you know how to be shot out of a cannon?
Sure, mister. I know how to do... Shot out of a cannon?
That's right, Henry. We generally have a vacancy in that act.
You do? How come?
Oh, just the normal wear and tear of the act. You see, the cannon's kind of old from the Civil War, and sometimes it doesn't shoot straight. Oh, you know how those things are.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what do you say, kid? You want the job?
Well, mister, I'll take it. You got yourself a new cannonball.
When I heard that kid volunteer to be shot out of a cannon, I knew he was really bitten by the circus bug. And the only thing to do was to see that he got a job as one of the roustabouts. Carting equipment, running errands, feeding the animals. And right from the beginning, the kid worked with all his heart. Always anxious to learn more about the circus and pitch in where he was needed. In fact, I noticed that he'd stay around the tent after the day was over, even late at night.
Come on, boy. It's time for you to run along home.
What for?
What for? A boy has to go home at night. That's what for.
There's nothing to go home for.
Henry, never say a thing like that. Your father and mother are home, and they'd be worrying about you.
My mama's dead.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, boy.
And my papa doesn't care one hoot about me.
How do you know that, Henry?
Because we just don't get along. You see that river out there, Mr. Jackson?
I see it.
Well, that's how far my papa and I are apart. No, the ocean is even a better example. We're as far apart as one side of the Atlantic Ocean to the other side.
Well, that's pretty far, kid.
You ain't kidding. You see, he's from the old country, and I'm from this one. So we're worlds apart. We don't even talk the same language. He talks Yiddish. And I only want to talk American. Because that's what I am. I'm an American.
Okay, kid, okay. I believe you.
So you see why there's no reason for going home. Anyway, I hate the place where we live. Rats in the walls, garbage in the halls, and fights on the block. Mr. Jackson, right here is where I want to be. Right here with the circus.
Henry, you know, we're leaving in a week.
I gotta go with you, Mr. Jackson. I just gotta go.
What would your father say?
Oh, he wouldn't even know I've gone. When he's home, he has his nose in those books all the time. So he doesn't even know what's going on.
But, Henry, you'll have to get his permission to travel with the circus.
Gee, all he knows how to say is, no, no. The rabbis say this and the sages say that. And it's always no. But I'll go anyway. I gotta go, Mr. Jackson. Don't you know how it feels inside? You know, with the circus and everything.
Yes, I knew how the kid felt. And I'd taken to the boy. So I decided to go see his father and find out if I could get his okay for the trip.
As a father, it's my duty to instruct my son, to hand down to him the teachings, the meanings of our beliefs. And as you see, Mr. Jackson, I've failed.
He's a fine, upright youngster, Mr. Samuels.
Maybe if my wife hadn't died. But I work all day in the shop. When I come home late at night and try to talk to him, to tell him what is right, what is wrong, all he says is that I don't understand. He says, I'm from the old country, and this is a new country with new traditions, new ways, and I don't understand. Is he right, Mr. Jackson? Is that the whole story of America?
No, I don't think so. With the new immigrant groups, there always seems to be a gulf between the generations. That's how it was in my family. But as time passes, the gulf narrows.
I pray for that day. Oceans apart, he says. Mr. Jackson, will the circus make my boy an American?
He's an American now. But traveling with the circus will let him see more of the land. Feel like he's part of it. Then he won't have to go around telling people he's an American in order to convince himself.
Mr. Jackson, you have my permission to take Henry on this trip. Please, take care of him. He's my only child. My son, maybe one day I can show him that his papa loves him very much.
So
So we were off on a tour of the country. And the kid was learning the life of the circus on the road. The quick jumps from town to town. The need to be familiar with all the acts so you can fill in during an emergency. But above all, the kid loved being with the elephant. And the two Henrys became inseparable.
Mr. Jackson, one of these days, Henry and me... Well, I bet you'll laugh if I tell you.
No, I won't. What are you and Henry going to do, huh?
Get up some swell routines. Some real showstoppers. That'll make people's eyes stand out.
Like you carrying Henry on your back?
See, I told you. You're laughing at me.
No, I'm not. Now, go on, boy. What are you going to do with this elephant?
Well, the way I plan it, Henry and I are going to perform in Madison Square Garden before all the important people of the country. And when they see us strut out into the central ring, there'll be a hush in the seats, and the lights will dim with just the big spotlight on us. And there'll be this big expectation among the spectators. And then...
And then?
And then...
Yes, Henry?
Well, that's just it. I haven't got the next step figured out yet. But I'm thinking hard about it.
And then the boy did a lot of thinking on the subject. And he and the elephant tried a lot of different tricks together at night. Until Henry finally convinced me to promote him from roustabout to general walk-around clown. That's the clown who makes a quick circle of the ring while the main acts are changing.
Now, easy, Henry. Easy, boy, easy. Watch, Mr. Jackson. This is the act I was telling you about. Now, I bend down for this peanut, and Henry sees me. Come on, boy. Come on. Boom. See? And then he picks up the peanut, and I give him a disgusted look. What do you think of it, Mr. Jackson?
It's pretty funny, my boy. Pretty funny.
He does it every time. Down I bend, and boom. Mr. Jackson, Henry and I are going places.
So, from one side of the country to the other, the elephant butted his friend Henry. And the crowd just ate it up. Round and round the circus ring, the boy and his partner would go, with the boy embellishing their little act as we moved along. From picking up peanuts to being pushed into mud holes by Henry the elephant. The boy seemed perfectly happy, except once in a while when a letter would arrive from his father.
Well, aren't you going to read it?
It's from Papa. I don't have to read his letters. I know what he's going to say.
Boy, I don't think you're being right to your Papa.
Mr. Jackson, when I went off with the circus, that was it. It was quits with my father and his old country. His old ways, and the rotten old block, and everything. I'm part of the circus now.
But your papa brought you to America, didn't he, Henry? So you have to give him credit for that.
Mr. Jackson, I don't know why he came to America, or what he expected to find. Anyway, he never told me.
Maybe you didn't give him time to talk to you.
Oh, he'd come home from the shop and bury his head in those books. So it wasn't my fault. And when he did talk, what's the use? Mr. Jackson, all that's over now. I just want to be a circus clown now. The funniest circus clown this country's ever seen.
So it continued like that. Henry's father would keep writing to the boy and... He'd not read the letters at all. But I'd write to the old fellow and tell him that his son was coming along fine and was liked by all the performers and what a great friendship he had with the elephant. The father always answered me, told me that he was especially pleased to learn how kind the boy was to animals. Now, one day, a special package came for Henry,
An old, worn-out trunk.
I know who that old trunk is from.
Yes, Henry.
I should know. I've seen it often enough. My father would lug it around with him wherever he'd go.
Well, take it, boy. It's a gift from your old papa.
Heck, he can keep his old trunk with all his old treasures. I don't want any part of it.
It's yours now, Henry.
No, it isn't. I'll send it right back today.
You can't, son.
What do you mean I can't?
You should have read your father's letters, Henry.
There's no reason for me to. We don't speak the same language.
You would have known he was sick.
Sick?
More than that, boy. Your papa's dead.
Papa's dead?
All that was left is in that trunk. He wanted you to have it.
Look, Mr. Jackson, it just doesn't make any difference. Now it just means that there's more than an ocean between us. I don't want his old trunk and his old treasures. Papa, don't you understand? I don't want your old treasures.
But he took the trunk and carried it with him wherever the circus went. Not that he'd open it up and see what was inside, but it would be with him. He might sit on it, or do handstands on it, or have the elephant gently put his foot on the trunk without crushing it. But he wouldn't open it. That is, until one day after the last performance in Oregon somewhere, just before we were ready to pull up stakes.
Okay, Henry, now stop it. Come on, you old fool, now stop it. Henry, when are you going to learn that the show's over? Mr. Jackson, what do you think of a performer that doesn't know when to stop?
You've got an ambitious partner, kid.
I was meaning to talk to you about the act.
And what about it?
Well, do you think it's missing something?
Like what?
Gee, I don't know. I just can't put my finger on it. I bend down, and Henry hits me, and the audience laughs. But...
But what, Henry?
Well, the act just doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Well, where do you want it to go? To Madison Square Garden?
Well, at this rate, it doesn't look like it's going to get there.
Look, kid, your act isn't bad as it stands. It's good slapstick humor, and you get your laughs.
But there's more to clowning, isn't there?
Well, depends, boy. Depends on what you're aiming for. Clowning goes all the way from pushing a tramp clown into a puddle to touching a sensitive chord in people, which makes them laugh on the outside and maybe weep a little inside.
A clown can make people weep?
Sure, a good one. It's a fine line, Henry, between laughter and tears. But the clown who knows a lot about life, its joys, its tragedies, its ups and downs, can make you laugh one time and then make you cry. Even give you courage to face life squarely.
A clown can do all that?
Sure he can.
But, Mr. Jackson, how do you learn to do that?
You gotta know a lot about life, people.
But how?
By living.
I'm living.
I mean by examining what you see. By looking at everything closely, thoughtfully.
Oh. That way.
Mm. Also by reading a lot.
Reading? What for?
Boy, you can't expect to learn everything yourself. You have to learn what other people have seen in life. What they think is important.
And that's how you become a good clown?
Some of the ways, Henry.
Well, the boy did what I expected he'd do. He went right for his father's trunk. Oh, not in front of everyone in Clown Alley, but out in the fields. I saw him go with the elephant and the old trunk behind a tree, take out one of his papa's books, and start reading quietly to himself.
Now, shush, Henry. Don't you see I'm studying? Let's see. Honi Hama'agael once saw on his travels an old man planting a carob tree.
He asked the old man when he thought the tree would bear fruit. After 70 years was the reply. Do you expect to live 70 years and eat of the fruit of your labor? He asked. I did not find the world desolate when I entered it, said the old man. And as my father planted for me before I was born, so I plant for those who come after me.
So the boy went on with his reading, in a secret sort of way, because he was afraid that some of the other clowns might make fun of what he was doing. But still, he would find a place, open his father's trunk, and read. The boy's routine seemed to improve. He put a lot of new touches in them, like making believe he'd lost his elephant and describing it to the unbelieving policeman, and then the tearful reunion of the clown and the elephant. I kept praising the boy. And off he'd go to read a few more pages from his father's books, and then work on some more routines with his elephant friend. And so it went for a year or two, until one day Roy Z. Kringle came to our circus looking for new talent for his big-time circus tour. And of course, all the circus people knew he was there and what his purpose was. So they put on an extra special performance.
Well, what do you think, Mr. Kringle?
Oh, it's a nice little circus, and there's some talent around that I might be able to use.
Who've you got your eye on? The three daredevils from Katu? Jenny the bareback rider? Zippo the strongman?
Well, there's one young clown you got that looks pretty good. The one with the elephant.
Henry?
Hmm.
Boy, what a break for him. Hey, Henry, stop what you're doing and come right over. Mr. Kringle wants to talk to you.
Hello, son. I was admiring your act today.
Thank you, Mr. Kringle.
Yes, he's certainly got a funny one, with that elephant pushing him all around the ring, eh?
Well, actually, I wasn't thinking of that.
Oh, I know. When the elephant's lost and he's looking for it, yes, that's a sure crowd for you.
No, not that one either. Tell him which one I mean, boy, the one I saw you practicing out in back of the tent.
Well, sir, I'm not practicing any new act just right now.
You clowns are all alike. You're afraid to talk about a new act before you think you got it perfect.
I don't know what you mean, Mr. Kringle.
Come on, boy. I tell you, the act's perfect. It's good. You ought to see it, Jackson. There's the boy sitting on the ground with his back against the elephant with his old trunk by him. Making out like he's studying from these old books, you know, with his clown outfit on. It's hilarious. You don't know what to make of it.
Mr. Kringle?
Sure, it's funny, but it also has a touch of pathos to it. The boy seems so serious when he reads. You don't know whether to laugh or cry when you see it. The act be perfect for a solo in center ring.
Mr. Kringle?
Now, in a day or two, boy, you'll get the contract.
Mr. Kringle, it's just that...
Pay? Don't you worry, Henry. We're a big outfit. You'll get double what you get here.
Mr. Kringle, it's not the pay.
Jackson, where'd you pick up this horse dealer? Don't you worry about details, boy. We start the tour in February. You'll be in the garden in April.
I can't do the act.
What are you saying, boy?
I just can't do it.
What's the matter, boy?
Henry, do you want some time to think it over?
No. No, I don't have to. Don't you see, Mr. Jackson? Don't you see? It just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right to Papa.
So that's the story. And that's why I feel that this clown, at least, was carrying with him a hidden sorrow. I still hear from Henry from time to time. The last card I got, he was touring out in Australia somewhere. Yes, he did manage to make the garden a number of times. But once he did, I don't think it was as important to him as he thought it would be. Also, I like to think that the gulf between Henry and his father has been narrowed appreciably. In fact, I'm sure it has.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Simon Seeley of Bayshore, Long Island, president of the Jewish Center of Bayshore and a prominent civic leader. Mr. Seeley.
It is natural for the young, in search of wisdom, to want to branch out into new things, new fields, new ideas, and thus to reject all that is old as outworn or outmoded. All of us have, at one time or another, wanted to make our own mistakes. Our rejection, therefore, of the wisdom of another man's experience has been founded on the desire to gain personal wisdom through personal experience. So natural is this to all growth that we find its manifestations in the home, where son rebels against the teaching of his father, in the school where the student questions the dogma of his teacher, and in business life where the recent graduate often expresses doubts about the abilities of his employer. One frequently hears, maybe it was right 10 or 20 years ago, but things are different today. Yet the literature of the past reminds us that this need of youth to ask questions has been with us for centuries. It is true, things are different today, different from what they were even a week ago, for a man must inevitably move forward. But he must build on a firm foundation. And so, as natural as it is for the young to reject the old ideas, it is also inherent in human nature that he will ultimately rediscover the truth which his elders have tried to transfer to him. He will rediscover these truths in the context of his own time and his own life, and so he will feel them to be his own. One of the greatest strengths of religious faith lies its adaptability to the changing features of society. For at its root, modern society is founded on the moral and ethical postulates determined thousands of years ago. Adaptability does not mean change either. It means the reinterpretation in modern language and modern concepts. It means the application of time-tested values to newly discovered sociological situations. These ethical and moral values, which father passes to son, generation to generation, and which are a part of the literature of the century, will be lost and found again by each man in his own time, and each reaffirmation of them will strengthen them anew for all men in all times.
Thank you, Mr. Seeley. Our eternal light drama today, The Circus Clown, was written by Erwin Gonshack. Cantor David Futterman sang the liturgical introduction. Leon Janney was starred as Mr. Jackson and Peter Lazer as Henry. Joseph Boland was Mr. Kringle and Roger DeCoven the father. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.